Today we're going to have fun. Here's what I called this tonight. Did you notice? Here it is, right here. No, I did not notice it. Thank you, though. Did you notice your map was sitting right in your Bible where you put it? No, I didn't. Okay. See how easy you can see something, not even see it? What I'm going to do is, now, that, of course, I can't hit everything. That's impossible for 30 minutes. And so, tonight, and I didn't have time to, I didn't do this till today, so I didn't have time to have Rosie type it for you. And when I get time, I'll have her, sometimes I'll have her, I like to put stuff where you can take it home with you. And, but tonight I want to share with a few things that you read through Genesis and see if you notice some of the truths that you had already read through the book of Genesis. Like last week, we covered chapters 1 through 9. And this week, I got a goal to cover 10 to 25, and we'll see. But so let's notice, if we can do this, I can do it quick, and we should be able to get this done. And I want my whole goal is that you catch some things that maybe you already saw these, but sometimes I think when you go over it twice, review is the best teacher, repetition. Notice in number one, did you notice the three sons of Noah? Look at Genesis 10:1. I want you to know something about that in Genesis 10:1. These are the generation of sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And unto them were the sons born after the flood. In other words, all the world was populated through these three boys. By the way, Shem, first name, so Shem would, almost all the time, those that mentioned first are the eldest or the older. So, no doubt Shem was the oldest of the three. I don't know if they were triplets when they're born, you know, or they were born individual times, different years. But in any event, we know Shem was the oldest of the three. I want you to see, notice in chapter 10, verse 2 through 5. Look at the sons of Japheth. Gomer, Magog. How many see that? Madiah, Tubal, Meshach. Let's see. Turn to verse 3. The sons of Gomer, Ashkenaz, Ribkan. See that? Togarmah. See that? Togarmah. How many see that? Then it goes on. Javan and Elisha and Tarshish and Kidon and Dudem. Look at verse 5. By these were the isles of the Gentiles divided in their lands, everyone after his tongue, after their families and their names. What I wanted to see was this. I'm going to show you later that Shem was a descendant. Abraham, who's the start of the Jewish people, was a descendant of Shem. I'll show you that later. Japheth, we're out of Japheth. When you see those words like Tabal, Meshach, look at that verse 1. Gomer, Tabal, Meshach. Meshach, Magog, that's all Russia. Russia, Meshach, Magog. Matter of fact, Tobolsk is still one of the one of the capitals. How many with me? Are you in Genesis 10:2? Gomer and Togarmah represents like Germany and Spain, Greece, and so you got like Turkey, Russia, Germany, Spain, Greece. You got all like you just think of your Gentile nations. They came out of Japheth. Then quickly look at the next son in 10:6. The Ham, what stuck out with Ham in verse I noted verse 6. And the sons of Ham, Cush, Mizraim, Put, Cana, and then they had children. And look at the son of Cush, verse 8. Cush begot Nimrod. You've heard that name before, haven't you? Nimrod, the mighty hunter. Sometimes I've heard my daughter say, "Hey, Nimrod, you Nimrod." How many see that? Well, Nimrod wasn't such a good guy, by the way. He was a bad guy, and he was a mighty hunter before the Lord. It says in verse 9, and Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord, and the beginning of his kingdom was what was it? Babel. So the people that was in Babel stemmed out of the line of Ham. Then look also at Shem in Genesis chapter 10, verse 21. Now, there's a lot of things, but there's just no way to, if I'm going to cover this, there's no way to cover it all. You'd stay in one verse and the whole time. Notice in Genesis 10:21, I noted, and I want you to note this, because I'm going to come back to this about three times. Unto Shem, watch what it says there. Also, Shem, also, are you in Genesis 10:21? The father of all the children of Eber. How many see that? Of Eber. Did you notice that? Did you notice that when you read it? He was the father of Eber. Now watch. Watch with me. Look at verse 25. And unto Eber were born two sons. The name of one was Peleg. For in the days was the earth divided. How many see that? See, we believe that at one time all the land mass was together. This might be, Brother Steve, this might be when the continents were formed. Because the land was divided. How many see what I'm talking about? I'm not saying that 100%. I'm saying it makes me think that he divided the continents right here. And because the continents, you know, it was when he first made it, they were all one. Are you with me, Bobby? And then I want you to go over, I want you to see something about this Eber. Look at Genesis 11:10. Genesis 11:10. And Shem lived after he begat Apex 500 years, and he begat sons and daughters. Did you see that? And what I want you to do, all I want you to do is see this. Shem's line goes right up to Abraham. Follow, I'm just going to quote you the verses. Shem, he begat Apex, verse 10. Then he begat Selah. Verse 12, he begot Eber, verse 14. Do you remember that? And who was he the father of? Remember we read that? Shem was the father of the children of Eber. There's a reason for that. Then Eber begot Peleg. Peleg got, and that's verse 16. Verse 18, Reuel, he begot Reuel. Verse 20, Reuel begot, I can't read my own writing, Sergi. And then he begot, in verse 22, Nahor, which is Abraham's grandfather. Yeah. And then Nahor, in verse 24, begot Terah, which was Abraham's dad. How many are still with me in the scriptures? And Abraham and Terah, which is his father, begot Abraham. How many see that? In verse 26, look at verse 26 of Genesis 11. And Terah lived 70 years, and we got Abraham, Nahor, and Haran. Abraham had two brothers. Are you with me? And notice who Abraham's father was. Terah. Are you still with me? The reason I'm trying to show you this, it all stemmed from Shem. The Jewish people's line came from Shem. The genealogies. But remember, he made mention of Eber. Still with me? And so, we're going to refer to it in just a minute here. Now look at Genesis 14:13. Genesis 14, did you notice? I'm supposed to say this every time. Did you notice? Genesis 14:13. And there came one that had escaped and told Abram the Hebrew. Abram the Hebrew. Did you notice that they called Abram a Hebrew? Did you notice that's the first time Hebrew is mentioned in the Bible? How many see that? Did you notice? This is the game we're playing tonight. Hope you're getting what I'm trying to show you. Did you notice? Because I know you read it. Now, Why did they call him Hebrew? Why did he call him a Hebrew? Because, I'm going to get to your map in just a minute or two. The first time Abram's called Hebrew in Genesis 12, remember Genesis 10:21? Shem was the father of the children of Eber. You ought to write that out there from there. See, the word Heber, Eber, could also be Heber, H-E-B-E-R. They didn't worry about the Gentile W. Are you with me? Now watch. Here's what the word Eber means. The word is derived, first, the word Hebrew is derived from the word Eber or Heber. The word Eber means a region across or beyond. The name denotes passage, pilgrimage, which Abraham said, I'm just a pilgrim soldiering. Are you with me? Coming from beyond. Stay with me. The Hebrews people came from a region beyond the Euphrates River. Abraham and all his seed were descendants of Eber, who came from the land of Ur of Chaldees. Are you with me? That was beyond the Euphrates River. Look at your map. How many got a map? Now, I couldn't do this on all yours, so I just hope. Look over here. See where it says Ur? How many see that? And then look at Ur of Chaldees. That's the region where Abraham was called out of. But look up a little higher. It says the Euphrates River, Tigris. He was on Euphrates. The way the scripture is teaching me that Eber was on the other side of the Euphrates. And Eber means a region across or to go beyond. In other words, they came from beyond. They came from somewhere else. Hello? Are we getting it or no? And by the way, notice, do you see the Tigris and Euphrates River? It goes right down in the Persian Gulf. Sean, that's right in the area where the Garden of Eden was. How many see that? Can you see that? Your Garden of Eden is somewhere in that area. If you went straight up north, you'll see Ararat. Remember where the Mount Ararat. The ark landed on Mount Ararat. How many see that? Look also. Now look over here with me. See, Abraham over in Genesis 12, Bobby, he leaves out of the land of Ur of Chaldees. He's on the other side of the Euphrates. And he comes all the way across, all the way over here, and up below. He goes to Hebron, which you don't have on your paper, but how many see Jerusalem? Hebron, when you read about him going to Hebron, Hebron was like 19 miles southwest. So I put like a little dot. If you put a little ways, just a little ways under Jerusalem and go to the west, he went through it, and Hebron, of course, eventually, he ended over in Egypt. How many are with me? So, the reason, and then he goes all along this coast, which I'll show you in just a few minutes. But see all this land here? This is all Canaan, right in here, the land of Canaan. How many are with me? Can you see what preacher's even doing? I'm trying. Okay, see where it says Egypt? Go up a little ways away from that and go up north in that area. Beyond, when you get out of Egypt, up there towards Samaria, below Jerusalem, that's out here to the right of that where it says Egypt. And up, that's the area of Cana. How many are still with preacher? Are you with me? Okay, now watch. Stay with me while you got your map. Look at Genesis chapter 15, verse 18. Did you notice when you read Genesis chapter 15, verse 18, God gave a boundary. In the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt. That's the Nile. Do you have the Nile River on there? Okay. And then, unto the great river, the river Euphrates. Now, look, I tried to do this. How many can see pink on my paper? Here's the river, here's the Euphrates River. And here's the Nile. Look at that spot. That's a lot of land. Whoever said that's right. Now, then I tried to make just a... I can't show you exact things, but see where Jerusalem is? And see, when you get to Damascus, you're already in Syria. So I made a little line below that, and just if you just put a little tiny circle like I did, like between Jerusalem and Samaria, right around where Tyre is, that's all big Israel is. But look at the land that God gave them. I should have probably put that in pink too, so you can see it. But what I want you to see is they're fighting. Those Palestinians said, this land belongs to us, not to the Jews. Hello? He said, you've got the land, Abraham, all the way from the Nile of Egypt, all the way to the Euphrates. By the way, that's another reason God showed me this week, Ruthie. That's another reason why Ishmael was sent out with nothing, because he has got no right to that land. All the Israelites and all the from Esau and all those tribes, they only say, we're of Abraham. God doesn't recognize them. God blessed them, but he didn't give them possessions. He blessed them because of Abraham, but he didn't give them the inheritance. I was right on that, the more I thought about it. Look at this. How many see the map? How many can see that pink? Now, I might not be exact on that pink, but I'm pretty close to it. That's how much land God gave them. And they don't even have one thirtieth. They don't have respect for what God gave them. Did you notice that when you read that?
Hold on to your paper. I think I'm going to show you one more thing on there. I might later. Let's keep going. Sorry, because I'm going to notice. Did you notice in about Ishmael in Genesis 16:11? And the angel of the Lord said unto Hagar, behold, thou art with child. She wasn't pregnant. She was a child. No woman's ever pregnant. They're with child. And they shall bear a son, and thou shalt call his name Ishmael. And here's what Ishmael means. Because the Lord hath heard thy affliction. And the Lord heareth. And he knows. Look at the description of Ishmael. Verse 12. Kind of like I am during those football games when Ohio State loses. He will be a wild man without having to watch Ohio State play and lose. Ishmaelites will be a wild man, and his hand will be against every man, and every man hand against him. And he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. And they're fighting today over that land. And they keep saying, well, no. The Palestinian says, no. We're descendants of Abraham. But God says, no, no, no. You might be a descendant, but you're not heir. Because only through Abraham's seed, through Isaac and Jacob, are the heirs of that land. Are you with me? Esau. People, although he was the son of Jacob had a son named Esau's not heir. No. He was, matter of fact, God, the script, I'm going to show you, if we probably don't get to it, but in Romans chapter 9 it says, God hated Esau. Yes. Yeah. Well, he sold his birthright. And so, did you know? Now notice, and you know, I preached this, you notice that Abraham should not have taken
the Egyptian handmaid, and he had that child, and God was displeased. How old was Abraham? Look at, did you notice when you read Genesis 16:16, how old Abraham was when Ishmael was born? He was 80, which is a score is 20, so 4 is that's 80 and 6, so he was 86 years old. And Abraham, I mean, how many are in Genesis 16:16? Watch the scriptures; they'll teach you something. Abraham was 86 years old. He was 86 years old when he bare Ishmael, when Hagar bare Ishmael to Abram. Now look at the next verse. It's interesting, although it's the next chapter, but it's the next, very next verse. When Abram was 99 years old, when he was 90 years and 9, the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. What's the difference between 99 and 86? I think there was 13 years of silence. I believe, and I don't think I'm doing the scripture wrong, I believe God was so disapproving of Abraham's action. Because I showed you last week how he promised he would. In chapter 15, he said, you're going to have a seed. If you just would have waited. For 13 years, God didn't even speak to Abraham. He was silent. I noted this. Did you notice this? Did you notice God changed after God spoke to him when he was 99 because he's getting ready to bring the promised seed? God changed Abram's name to Abraham when Isaac's coming down the picture. Look at 17:5. Did you notice when you read this that neither shall thy name anymore be called Abram, but thy name shall be called Abraham? For a father of many nations have I made thee. And he's not talking about Ishmael at all. He's talking about the promised seed to come, which was Isaac. Look at verse 19 of that same chapter. 19. And God said, Sarah, thy wife shall bear thee a son, indeed. And thou shalt call his name Isaac, which means laughing. And I will establish my covenant for him. I will my covenant with him, with Isaac, not Ishmael. For an everlasting covenant with his seed after him. How many see that? God was making a definite statement. And did you notice in that same chapter? Now that we got our heads together, and we know we're heading for the right spot with the Isaac, the promised seed. Then Abraham gets circumcised when he's 99 years old. Look at verse 24. Abraham was 90 years old and 9 when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. He waited all that time. God said, you better get ready because I'm ready to do something. You better fall in line. Are you with me? By the way, 25, Ishmael, his son, was 13 years old. When you see him and Hagar out in that desert, it says the lad. Some people think he's a little baby drinking milk. He's like my grandson, Austin. Yeah. Ishmael, Steve, was more than 13 years old when he gets cast out. Well, you keep reading. Hope you notice that. I hope you notice those things as you're reading this. Did you notice? If only there were in Genesis 18, verse 32. Where do I have you? If only there were only 10 saved people in Sodom and Gomorrah, God would have not sent judgment. Look at Genesis 18:32. And he said, oh, let not thy Lord be angry. I will speak yet, but this once, peradventure, 10 shall be found there. He said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. Now, I want you to get this down. Lot really was a sad Christian. I know he was a Christian because Peter says that righteous man's soul was vexed daily. Now, listen. Look at Genesis 19 with me. Do you realize if Lot would have just won his family, Carl, I can account for at least minimum of 8 people in his family. That means if he had just won his family to Christ, he would only have to get 2 outside people. And plus there might have been more that I don't know about. But look, notice what it says there in Genesis 19:1. And there came two angels to Sodom at evening, and Lot sat at the gate. Usually Christians that are sitting around, they're doing nothing. But God wants us to be busy about His work. Amen? Notice, I want you to see, though, in Genesis 19, if Lot would have been soul winning and won just nine people, because he would be the tenth person. God said, if there's only 10 people saved, I won't destroy it. Well, he was saved. All he needed was nine more people. I believe the reason God hasn't sent judgment on America, because of the saved people here. I believe that with all my heart. And I believe we're the salt that preserves the earth. I believe that. Notice, if Lot would have just went soul winning and just won his family, he would have had at least eight people at the minimum, because I know for a fact that he had at least four daughters. Because he had two that were still virgin. And this, look what it says there in Genesis chapter 9, 19, verse 8. Genesis 19, verse 8. Behold, now I have two daughters which have not known man. So he's got two daughters there that have not known man. They're still virgins. Are you with me? Look down at verse 14. Then Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters. Daughters, plural. He had to have at least two. He might have had more than two, but I know he had at least two. Now, if you notice, verse 12, those men, which are angels, said unto Lot, look, are you in verse 12 of me? Hast thou any besides? We're getting ready to destroy this place. You want to tell your family and get them out of here too? Do you have a son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters? Now, watch. He goes over in verse 14 and he warns his sons-in-laws and his daughters. It never says anything about him warning his sons. So, Jeannie, I don't think he had any sons. Because if I knew a place was going to be destroyed, and I've got a boy, I'm not even going to tell my girls. I'm going to tell my boys, too. Right? So, Bobby, I just think personally, I don't think he had a son. I think he had all daughters. Maybe that's how he could. Yes, Carl? Yes. Oh, definitely. Yeah, because they're out of his seed. Yeah, even though I know it's from their daughter. Sure, many times the Bible, you know, say I'm a son of him, but even though he's like a great-grandson, sure, it could represent that. But I mean, as far as his own first-generation son. Right. Oh, there's no doubt he had grandchildren, Carl. Not many people are married and don't have kids. A few are hindered, but most people have children. So what I want to show you is this. If he'd have led his daughters and his son-in-laws and his grandchildren to Christ, he could have saved Sodom and Gomorrah from being destroyed. If he just would have had a witness. How important is this for us to witness to our family? How important is it for us to pray for our family? How important is it for us to try to get our family saved? By the way, I read this last time, they said that he was as one, it was in verse 14, but he was seen as one that was mocked unto them. In other words, that shows me he never told them. They didn't even believe him because he had no witness. I believe the blood's going to be on his hand. I believe that. And so, anyways, then also in verse, chapter 19, verse 3, did you notice the angels ate food? Look at 19:3. And they went into the house. He entered into the house and he made them a feast. A baked unleavened bread, and they did eat. So angels do eat. We're going to eat in heaven. Pizza, no doubt. And unleavened pizza. The manna from heaven, amen? Anyways, did you also notice? In Genesis 19, Lot and his wife and his two daughters were literally taken by force by the angels to leave Sodom and to flee. If you look at 19:16, look at Genesis 19:16. And while he lingered, you know why he lingered? He didn't want to leave his family. He knew he had messed up. He knew they were going to be destroyed. If you knew your kids were going to be destroyed, would you want to leave them? He waited too late though to try to help them. Don't wait till the day they're going to die and try to get them saved. He wouldn't have to linger if he'd have witnessed to them when they're every day when they're living with them. Notice what happened in there. I never saw this as I read this. The men laid hold upon him. I always noticed that. The men, which are those angels, by the way, upon him, the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters and him. In other words, there were two angels, Bobby. And if I got this right, if I'm reading this scripture right, Carl, one angel had Lot and his wife in each hand. And the other angel had the other two girls in each of his hands. Because there's four hands and there's four people. They drug them out. They literally, bodily took them out. Isn't that amazing? People, even though the terror of God was coming, God, because, and if you don't think it wasn't, look what it says there. The Lord being merciful. He could have just let them stay there and died with the rest of them. That's a great verse. And the Lord being merciful. I know God's merciful to me many times because the way I crack up and get mad, because when you don't. Some of you the same way too. Amen? Notice, I also saw something in there too, Rowdy. Did you notice? Did you notice when you read Genesis 19:5? Verse 10, verse 12, and verse 16. Did you notice every time you read verses 5, 10, 12, and 16 that the angels are always referred to as men? Angels are always referred to as men because angels are always in a male gender. There are no women angels. There are no angels of the female gender. I know you see these little pretty little angels, not, and I'm not telling you to go and break your little ornaments. I'm not telling you to do that. I don't give a flip about those things. You want to have little women angels with me? Man, have all you want. That don't bother a preacher at all. Honest to God. But it's my duty to tell you the truth. I mean, I don't care if you want to have fun with that stuff, but it's not real. How many of you know? I'm not trying to make you mad. I'm just trying to make you get no truth. You can have fun, but I don't want you to be stupid while you're having fun. Be smart. And by the way, there's a great lesson there for the queers. Did you notice there the angels are all there's no wait, I'm gonna show you scripture. Everyone hold your hand to Genesis, look at Matthew 22 real quick. Oh, I'm gonna run out of time. Hold on, we're gonna take a few minutes. We're not gonna get done though. Look at Matthew 22. Doggone it. Look at Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22. Look at verse 23 through 30. I told you that angels are always in the male gender. Now, seraphims have wings. But, by the way, all the angels, even angels' names, did you ever get, check out the names? Gabriel, Michael, that's not Michelle, Lucifer. That's right. Hello. There's no women angelic beings. I'm getting people mad. This is a Bible study. You want truth? I'm going to give it to you. What I mean I'm showing this, look at Matthew 22. And by the way, God loves ladies. That's why he made them. I'm not putting the ladies down. Just saying there's no women angels. That's why the angels came down. The sons of God, which are male angels, fallen angels, and took the women in Genesis 6. Hello? You didn't have any lesbians. Get with lesbians. The lesbian angels got, you know, there are no lesbian angels. There's no queer angels either. This is a great truth that people get when I'm trying to show them. Look at verse 23. in Matthew chapter 22. If I can find it. The same day came to him. The same day came to him the Sadducees, which say there's no resurrection. That's why they're sad, you see, because they don't believe. And they asked, "There's no." And they said, "Master, Moses said, if a man die having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. Now there were with us seven brethren. The first, when he was married, the wife deceased, having no issue, left his wife unto his brother. Likewise, the second, also the third, unto the seventh." In other words, they all died, and the same woman became the wife of every one of these seven brothers. How many are still with the preacher? And last of all, that poor woman died. God bless her heart. She probably wanted to die a long time before that. Let me out of here, God. Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife shall she be? For the seven, for they all had her as a wife. Jesus answered and said unto them, "You do err, not knowing the scriptures." And that's why we're doing this. I want our people in Bethel Baptist Church to know the scriptures, nor the power of God. If you don't know the scriptures, you're never going to know the power of God. The power of God comes from the scriptures. For in the resurrection, verse 30, Matthew 22, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. And what I was just trying to show you is that there's no people getting married in heaven, and male angels are not marrying male angels. Hello? Go back to Genesis. It's already five after. Yeah. Well, man. Yeah. That's what we're going to do. I'll write some more. Did you notice? Because this is some good stuff here. Boy, I got some. Oh, this is some real good stuff. Oh, this is real good. Wow. I'll wait. Man, this is good stuff. Let me give you one more. Did you notice when you were reading Genesis 21? What Abraham did for Ishmael when he was forced to send Ishmael away. Look at Genesis 21. Boy, I got some good stuff down here, man. Ooh. I must have skipped some stuff. Oh, well. Genesis 21. And look at verse 9 through 15. Sarah saw a son of Hagar, the Egyptian, which she had born unto Abraham, mocking Isaac. And wherefore she said unto Abraham, "Cast out the bondwoman, this bondwoman and her son, for the son, this bondwoman should not have be heir with my son, even with Isaac." And this was very grievous unto Abraham's sight because of his son. That was his firstborn son. I'm going to tell you, there's a special love a man has for his son. He loves his children. But your son is like your pride, your life. Are you with me? And God said unto Abraham, "Let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad, because thy bondwoman and all that Sarah had said unto thee, hearken unto." He shouldn't have listened to her the first time, but God said, "Now I want you to hearken to her. I want you to listen to her this time, because she's doing right. Hearken unto her voice, for Isaac shall thy seed be called. And also the son of the bondwoman will I make a nation, only because, Abraham, he's thy seed." How many see that? "And Abraham rose up early in the morning, took bread and a bottle of water, and gave it unto Hagar, putting it under her shoulder, and the child, and sent her away. And she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. And the water was spent in the bottle, and she cast the child under one of the shrubs." Now look up here. And I'm all done. Well, I want to show you one more scripture. Abraham's so wealthy, he's got Bill Gates beat almost. Abraham was one of the wealthiest men on living on planet Earth at that time. He sends his only, his firstborn child out in the desert with one loaf of bread and a bottle of water, and he's got him walking instead of riding a fleet of camels. You're talking about the son of like a prince. And he was a prophet. God called him, that man's a prophet. Told those kings of in Egypt, you leave him alone. That man Abraham's a prophet for me. And when I read that a week ago or so, it just struck my heart. I said, God, you're trying to tell me something. Man, why in the world would he only send them out with a bottle of water? And then you keep reading, well, they run out of water, they're out in the desert dying. Then God comes down. By the way, then she takes them down to Egypt where she's from, and he gets an Egyptian wife. And that's why you get a lot, all these Egyptians and all these people from these different tribes. They're saying they get the land that because Abraham was our father, because they came from Ishmael. They're all trying to claim Abraham. But see, I thought about this. And you're going to look at one more scripture. I'm going to let you go home. I think, and I like what little Eddie said too. I ran this by little Eddie and Robin. He said, God was trying to say, don't, because it was of the flesh that they did this. And God was trying to, and Eddie said, I like what he said, don't feed the flesh. That's a great truth, a little spiritual truth there. But I think, I said, Eddie, I think that's good, but I think there's something even beyond that, what the Lord's putting in my heart. And I said, it's got to be doing with that inheritance. Because, see, had he gave him a lot of inheritance, Bobby, they could claim, hey, look what he did. But, see, he gave him nothing. Look at one more scripture, Galatians chapter 4. And I promise I close. I'll bring you some more. Did you notice next week? Same channel, same station, same place. I'm going to have fun this year. I'm having a blast going through this Bible. I hope you're learning some things. I'm learning things. Because you read through it and you say, my lands, I read that 25 times. I've never saw it. Look at Galatians chapter 4, and I'll let you get out of here. Look at verse 22 and 23, and then verse 30 and 31. Galatians chapter 4, verse 22 and 23. For it's written that Abraham had two sons. One by the bondmaid, which was Hagar from Egypt, and the other free woman, Sarah. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh. That was all flesh. That was nothing of God. That was none of the Spirit of God. God had nothing to do with that birth. And I think that's what he's showing. I got nothing to do with that. Get out of here. I ain't got nothing to do with you. But he who was a bondwoman was born after the flesh. But he who was a free woman was born by promise. For 25 years he waited, but God promised and he gave it to him. Isaac is a promise. See, look at verse 30 and 31. Nevertheless, what says the Scripture? What saith the Scripture? By the way, the only thing that matters is what the Scripture says. Cast out the bondwoman and her son. Cast out Ishmael and Hagar. For the son and the bondwoman shall not be heir. Shall not be heir with the son of the free. It's just as though Ruthie, even though he was born, he wasn't born. Because that birth is not recognized by God. Look, he blessed him because he was of the seed of Abraham. But he didn't recognize.